Welcome to the Displacement Urbanism podcast series, hosted through the London School of Economics. My name is Dr. Romola Sanyal, and I am Associate Professor in Urban Geography at the Department of Geography and Environment here at the LSE. In this podcast series, we explore how cities and displacement co-constitute each other. As we see millions of displaced people moving to cities and millions of people displaced in cities around the world, the questions of how these processes intersect are crucial. In this podcast, I will be interviewing a range of actors, including those who have been displaced in different ways and those who are involved in the management and the study of displacement. We will be going around the world to explore the different issues around this topic. I hope the podcast offers an opportunity to open up conversations around the politics and processes of displacement and urbanization, the different ways it can be experienced, understood, and approached. I also hope that the podcast demonstrates how these are global and interconnected issues, but also one that draws our attention to its local specificities. Welcome, everybody, to this episode of the Displacement Urbanism podcast series. I'm delighted to be joined by today's guest, Lefteris Papagiannakis, who is the director of the Greek Council for Refugees. He was elected in the Municipal Council of Athens in September 2014 and named Vice Mayor on Migrant and Refugee Affairs between March 2016 and August 2019. At the time, he was chair of the Working Group on Migration and Integration of the Eurocities Network, Vice President for Refugee Issues of ECCAR, or the European Coalition of Cities Against Racism, and President of the Council for the Integration of Migrants of the Municipality of Athens. He has worked in the European Parliament as a parliamentary assistant on the education of children of Muslim minorities in Greece, as a legal counselor for the political party Ecologists Green, and the Special Secretariat on Environmental Inspection. He is a member of the board of the Hellenic League of Human Rights. He has studied public law in the University of Lille and holds an MA in European Community Law and International Economy. Welcome to the podcast, Lefteris.
Thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here with you.
So I wanted to start with just asking you, what do you think are some of the key or new challenges that Greece is facing in relation to displacement today? I mean, we know that there's been an ongoing migration question, but there are also internal challenges that Greece faces. And some of this is also in relation to displacement. So I was wondering if you could talk us through some of that, please.
First of all, we've been facing what was called the refugee crisis for a long period. I disagree with the term, but that's another point. We can discuss that, you know, in another occasion. And we have been asked as a country to manage increased flows, but also the fact that Greece turned into a destination country quite, I wouldn't say violently, but abruptly. So Greece was a transit country for a long period of time. And then with the evolution of the crisis, again, brackets, and the closing of the borders, Greece became a destination country and had to change the approach and develop other types of policies, namely integration, reception, etc. And we are still discussing about these types of policies because, unfortunately, Greece never did integration in the last 40 to 50 years. But on top of that, we never discussed migration as a social, real social issue. And what, you know, the consequences of displacement they are. And we always treated it as a very, very political issue. Of course, because of the actual crisis that Greece faced, the financial one, in the last 10 to 12 years, this question became very toxic and highly politicized, as it happened all around Europe. You know that probably Brexit is one of the consequences of the discussion of migration. Brexit, it's in all the national elections around the EU, but around the world also, migration is at least in the top three issues. In some countries, it's the number one issue. It's going to be probably the most important issue in this year's European election, etc. So it is always coming back in different ways, but it always comes back as a highly politicized and toxic issue. And I don't know if we don't have the time, but we don't take the time to discuss it seriously. On top of that, last year in 2023, Greece, for the first time, encountered the fact that Greeks had to be internally displaced because of a climate disaster, of a natural disaster. The floods in Thessaly, the big agricultural area of Greece that produces 20% of the animal production and 25% of the vegetable production of Greece has flooded, and whole villages were destroyed and disappeared basically. And we have Greeks living in camps now, especially one of the former refugee camps. We moved refugees out and we are hosting Greeks. And this is a first. So even now we don't understand that displacement is a reality and it's going to get worse if we don't take measures or if we don't adapt to what is coming. So the challenges that other countries are facing, but now even more so because we see the real consequences of climate disaster and climate crisis or climate change, however you want to call it, and how this leads to displacement. Because we always thought that was an issue for other countries because we saw the end result in our borders. Now we see it internally and we still don't know how to discuss about it. And we still cannot link it to the general concept of human mobility and displacement, internal displacement, etc. We know the numbers by now. We don't acknowledge the reality, I think. And we still don't discuss the issue in a serious political way. And we avoid it, I would say. So the challenge is to understand how this is shaping the country or how this is affecting the country, if we talk about Greece, but also the role of Greece in the global mobility reality. Because Greece is in the middle of a number of routes, the Balkan route through Turkey, by the sea from the Mediterranean, but also from the islands. So we are a center focal point of this mobility reality. And now it's stable, it's always there. And the numbers are going up and down, depending on realities around the world. But now we understand clearly how this affects us.
On that point, then, can I just ask, do you see people's attitudes towards migrants changing as a result of the internal displacement that they have seen happening over the last year of Greeks themselves and being put into camps that had been designed for asylum seekers and for others coming in?
This is a very interesting question, and I would love, if we had some data or some research or an organized way of knowing what people think now. I mean, I don't know, a university visiting them, a research center, a team of the ministry, someone going over there and saying, look, how do you feel about it? You know, just a very real question. I don't think that it has happened yet. So I cannot answer definitively, with data, saying, yes, people understand now what it means to be internally displaced. And if they can feel or they can relate to people who actually move not from their own choice, but because they have to, I cannot answer definitively. I'm sure that some of them are thinking about it. I'm sure that some people are very, angry that they are now related to people who move from other countries, refugees, migrants, etc., and they don't understand it. And I'm sure that people also relate to that in a more compassionate way and say, look, it can happen to anyone at any point. I'm sure that everything, all of these options are open, are out there. But I cannot tell you definitively, numbers, percentages, how it started and how it's going, because we don't do the necessary research. It would be a very interesting project.
Let me take this in a slightly different direction, which is to think about the question of cities. And I was wondering whether you think that how does climate change or these climate related displacement impact cities, in your view?
Look, we have been discussing for some years now on the numbers of people who are going to live in cities. We know that at some point, more than half or even, 60, 65, 70% of the total population around the world will live in urban environments. So you will have more mega cities, cities that will need to address the needs of the citizens, provide more services, adapt to a growing population, etc. Even if things are tight, if you don't have space, cities will move towards, in height, or they will need to expand, etc. So we know this discussion around the increasing number of people living in urban environment. I think that, climate displacement or displacement because of the climate change will increase the numbers, and it will make it, it will happen even probably, it will speed up the process, apparently, because climate disaster is happening much faster than we ever thought it would. So we know that this process is picking up speed. We know that, for example, in some conflicts, the fact that people moved internally because of climate, directly or indirectly, there is a discussion if the conflict in Syria has been affected by the displacement caused by the lack of water in the rural areas, etc. So it's a very wide discussion, and we don't have the time to discuss it. We don't have the elements because there is a war going on. It's understandable, but theoretically, we do this type of thoughts between us. So I don't think that this is that climate is not going to affect the size of the cities, the needs, and how cities will operate, and what cities would need to do to adapt to that. I mean, the villages that were destroyed in the floods last year in Greece, I don't think that they will be rebuilt. I don't think that anyone will go back there to live, because if we don't change the way we operate, it will happen again, apparently. And we had, I can tell you for the specific case of Thessaly, we had Dutch experts coming in. And as you know, Holland is a country that in many aspects lives underwater, below the sea level. And they are the experts. They came in and they said, no, don't do any more dams. Just let the water flow and leave the rivers take their natural course. And nature will take its course around it automatically. You don't need to intervene, nothing, leave it. And it will just naturally happen. But it means that we cannot rebuild the villages that were there. So these people already have to think, leave the village, but also the area, the general region. So I know from reports and, reports on media, in television, etc., many of them think about leaving the country. Many of them are thinking about moving to another region of Greece, where they have family, coming into cities also, yes. Not Athens or Thessaloniki, the two big ones, but, bigger cities around the area. So, yes, this movement will affect the surrounding cities. And if we take larger number of people, it will affect the larger cities also. And we know that, for example, in South Ossetia, this is a reality already happening. And I'm not an expert on mobility and how cities are shaped. But we know from experience that when you have people moving, they will end up somewhere. People who went through Greece in 2015, a big number of them are now in Germany. So we will find them in some of the German cities, but also in rural areas, because Germany has a very specific distribution system, etc. So in other countries, we will see them in cities when you don't have a distribution system. So cities will need to adapt to that at a faster rate. We know that.
I know that you're particularly interested with some of the questions around urbanization and in particular around housing. I wanted to just touch on the question of affordable housing and how you think that the issue of affordable housing is particularly salient to addressing that question of displacement and urbanization.
Look, I'm using the example of Greece because it's very telling on what is happening. Greece doesn't have a social housing policy. So the notion of affordable housing is, people don't get it. They don't understand what affordable housing means. They don't get as social housing either. But we are still discussing, for example, if the right to housing is a human right. Because we are a country, we were more, but now less. we still are a country that has a high rate of ownership. We own housing at the rate of 85%, I think, before the financial crisis. Now this number has gone down to 75, 73. So it's a big change. In, let's say, 10 years, a drop of 10 points or 15 points. I don't have the latest numbers. And the housing stock has gone to companies, funds. The use of housing has changed, Airbnb, Golden Visa, etc. So we are facing new challenges as to housing and what housing is. For Greeks, housing, having a house was the legacy of the family to the next generation. It was part of the effort of parents to leave something behind. Houses, apartments, property is still the most important concept for families to leave to the next generation. But with the financial crisis, this has become increasingly difficult. You have generation of younger people who complain basically because they cannot live better than their parents, and we know that, and it's linked to housing. So it's a very big question, this change of attitude and realities, and how to adapt to that. And the lack of discussion on social housing, affordable housing, is housing a human right or a social right or some type of right, is still very new, and we are running behind the events. We have one of the parties in parliament who has done a pretty, you know, complete proposal on social housing. It is very interesting, but still we don't have social housing. We have some small schemes who are concern only youngsters and Greeks, so not social housing. So it's an effort from the government to present opportunities for young couples to buy a house. But when you see the age, you know, that we mean as youngsters, it's from 25 to 39. Someone who is 39 years old is considered to be young. I mean, it's recreating the social reality in Greece. Because in Greece also, we know that this is a number that we have, young people live with their families until they're 33 because they cannot afford to live on their own because the wages are very low, because of financial crisis, or because the very high cost of renting an apartment and spending money on housing. We are the country with the highest rate of spending on housing, 40%, because the rents have skyrocketed, paying the utilities, taxes, etc. So you need to spend 40 to 45% of your income to your house, which is huge. So if you add this together, all together, and you present a concise picture of the social situation in Greece, it's very problematic. And because we are so green in this discussion, I mean, we just started the discussion on social housing, I think we will lose more time and it will affect society even more. So we need to go faster and to find solutions that work. I don't have all the answers. I'm not an expert, as I mentioned, but I can see the consequences. I live in a neighborhood that is highly gentrified. I have friends who are looking for an apartment in the city center for a year now, and it's almost impossible to find at an acceptable, with an acceptable rent. You can find extremely expensive apartments, but you know, the cost is, you know, you cannot, it's impossible to live with. So, yeah. So you see the consequences of this change day in, day out. And it's not getting any better.
I think that's a really interesting point. And housing is one of the most, or is the most expensive, or the most cost intensive investment for any family, whether they're renting or whether they're buying. And I think that the impacts of that are even more significant for those who have lost a lot as a result of being displaced, whether they're in floods or other kinds of natural disasters. We had fires in Greece as well. People have lost their homes. Where are they supposed to go if they don't have those assets and then they cannot afford to live in cities? or in other places either. And then there are other policies that have made the access to housing even more difficult in Greece, isn't it? I mean, there are, aside from the sort of increasing costs of housing more generally, there are sort of other pressures that have made the supply of housing more generally more inaccessible.
Yeah, the fact that we went through this real crisis, the financial one, it started around 2010, and people needed to find other ways to make income. And because, as I mentioned, we had a high rate of ownership, and some people had more than one house and more than one apartment. They were renting this apartment, so they had income. Then other opportunities, came, and you could sell your apartment for someone to someone who was looking for an apartment to get a golden visa. You can get a residence permit for 5 years if you invest 250,000 euros into a property, a unique property. So you cannot buy a number of small ones and make and add them. But if you could pay 250 for one apartment, you got your golden visa. And we saw, you know, we have extreme examples of apartments that cost, I don't know, 50,000 bought for 250 just to reach the level of the golden visa provision. There were extreme cases like this. But also Airbnb came along, as it was, you know, it was a reality all over the world. And during the crisis, which was an actual financial crisis, I will repeat it, because one of the first sectors that suffered from that crisis was the construction sector, and prices plummeted. It was a bargain to buy apartments in Greece for a number of years. For at least 5 to 6 years, it was a bargain. You could buy an apartment not far from the center in all neighborhoods of Athens for 20,000 euros, and you invested another 20, and you sell it now for triple the price or even four times the price, because the prices have gone up again. And because rents are very high, it is a smart investment. It is kind of a bubble. It will find that, you know, it will deflate again, but okay, who cares now, as long as we make money. So if you combine all of it together, you have factors that increase the cost of living. And we have seen it in Barcelona, we have seen it in Paris, in London, in Amsterdam, and you have, you know, you need to make some interventions in order to keep social peace, social cohesion, etc., which is not the case in Greece, unfortunately, for the moment. We only take tax measures, meaning we tax the owners of Airbnb more, which doesn't make a lot of sense because they still make a lot of money, because we have increasingly high numbers of tourism. So, you know, you always have customers. We increase the cost of having an Airbnb. Still, it's not, you know, people are not deterred. They still do it. And of course, we need to pick up, we need to find a way to bring back to the market apartments who have gone out of the market, either as Airbnbs or as Golden Visa apartments. And sometimes the owners of these apartments do not put them on the market because they don't care. That's not the problem. Because the Golden Visa scheme of Greece has a very positive point for them. They don't need to stay in Greece. You can buy it. You don't need to stay here. You have countries where you buy, you need to stay also, which is, it can deter someone from buying because he needs to also go there for a period of time at least. In Greece, you don't need to stay in Greece at all. You can buy it and never set foot in Greece and use Greece as a platform to pass through and go to the rest of the EU, which is the goal and the target. You have other countries that sell nationality. For 2.5 million, you can become European citizens for life. Fortunately, Greece, even though we thought about it, we didn't do it, which is a good thing. And we increased in some areas the limit to buy a Golden Visa apartment to 500,000 euros. Still, it's not a lot. But it also affects these specific areas because it increases even more the rent. So, I don't know. I think that the solution is to stop the scheme, as Portugal does. Portugal is going to stop it.
So there are sort of these compounding issues of unaffordability, of housing and other issues in cities. And then on the other hand, you've got displacement of people within Greece and also the migration of people into Greece from different places, both as migrants, but also as asylum seekers. So you've got a lot of different issues going on. So, you know, just wanted to kind of ask you as a sort of a closing question, what do you think should be done in your view? Because you've obviously had a lot of experience with this. I mean, you also were involved with a lot of the policy making as well. So what do you think the future holds and what do you think should be done, especially in relation to the fact that, you know, you have a lot of displacement that is not just happening right now, but will happen in the future as well, as you pointed out at the beginning?
Look, I don't think that there are either easy fixes and or easy solutions or even solutions per se. I mean, we need to address mobility and we need to manage mobility in a large scale. It's not an issue for Greece or only for the EU, because we tend to look at it through the EU lens, which is, it's not enough. I mean, it's a global issue. It's a historical thing. It's mobility is human history. So if we treat human history as a problem, as we do now, maybe that's the beginning of the problem. And it causes all of this commotion and this political toxicity. We need to find ways to manage mobility. We need to find ways to adapt to this mobility. Greece cannot do it on her own. The EU cannot do it on her own. We need to create large alliances in order to change the policies, change the way we look at some of the rights that we offer or we don't offer in the case of Greece and the EU. We need to discuss about legal migration, legal pathways to migration. How? Because if you link climate, the demographic crisis, and human mobility, who are all interconnected in a way, then you get a very complicated and big picture that seems impossible to manage. Integration policies, social housing, education, access to basic universal services, alliances that help countries that produce people on the move to keep people there, if possible. Not only that, because if we look into that only, we did that several years ago, it didn't work and it won't work. So we need a whole array of interventions to change the way we live, if you want. We had countries that were that suffered by because of colonization. Now we have a new type of colonization by China, Russia, etc. So we see the shifts. And we see how these political shifts affect Europe. So if we stay within our small boundaries as Europeans, it won't be effective, and we know that. So we need to, and also, and again, I know that sounds a bit like a dream, peace. I mean, as long as we have conflicts, I don't know, people will move if they are under threat. So peace would be a good thing. I know it sounds like a beauty pageant, but yeah. World peace, probably it's a good idea. Discuss about how we can address climate change and do more, because we are already losing the battle. And if we lose, we will lose that. I don't know. It's probable that we will not be able to recover from it, and the numbers will be huge. So we will find ourselves in a reality where we'll just observe things changing without being able to intervene, manage, change, whatever word anyone can use or wants to use, it will be impossible to do something. You need a global effort to change the reality that we live in. I know it sounds very vague, but, you know, we have the elements to discuss, and we are not discussing, and we are not taking any measures. We are still fighting. Are we going to limit the CO2, levels until 2050? We know that this is too late already. And we are failing.
Thank you so much for talking to us today. I think you've, laid out a lot of really important points. And, you know, it's incumbent on us to reflect on the intersection between the kind of displacements that we're seeing nowadays from different places for different reasons, and also the issues that arise in urban environments, and how that creates quite impossible situations for people who need to find spaces for themselves to live in the long term. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.